hearts. Sharp swords with handle art to spar trolls and charge tolls to cross roads. Where bandits are catacombs and giant doors. Protect the chest and store some legendary items with the dragon bones and iron.
It's horse. A grand theft of Elder Scrolls. Simon's quest with Toe and Earl. Rocket shoes to Everclue. Easter eggs and gaming news. The POTUS need some bad dudes to crash your crew like Bandicoot. All shit a gaming and glitch control issues. Control issues.
Yes, yes, y'all.
Yes, y'all. Yes, y'all.
Well, this is Control Issues. I am the AMC.
And this is a dub. You can find us at control-issues.com. You can also go to your podcast provider, whoever that may be. Look for Control Issues, download it, subscribe to it, rate it, review it. Head on over to twitch.tv/controlissuespod, where we put up gameplay videos for your viewing pleasure. And then head on over to Spotify and see if you can spot us. Look for Control Issues. Look for us on Blue Sky. Control Issues Pod is the handle. Same deal over on the Gmail, controlissuespod@gmail.com. If you want to drop us a line, let us know how you're feeling. Let us know what you're thinking about. Let us know what they're talking about in the streets. AMC, how you living?
Living well, A-Dub. It's been actually been pretty good. It was actually a terrible week. So we took a week off, and what happened? So we were kids doing in-law. Yeah, well, kids got sick. In-laws Thanksgiving. We were supposed to do it on Saturday last week, and then the kids were sick, so they asked to push it off till Sunday, which is when we were going to record. So yeah, we had to skip a week. So kids were sick. That sucked. Work was absolutely hellacious. I'd mentioned like one of the people had left, so they were down a person, just understaffed and just fucking miserable. But we got through it. We got to Wednesday and didn't have to work after that, thankfully. And because I was off Wednesday, that means Thanksgiving was happening. So got to meet up with the family. There's a growing, I guess there's a rift happening between our family, between the old and the young.
Oh no.
Yeah, because the young people, we've grown up with like things our parents have like basically setting things up a certain way, having things handled a certain way. Mm-hmm. So when it comes to Thanksgiving, we all we talk about we're gonna eat at 4 and we'll eat till like 8 o'clock at night. It was just a thing that always happened, and my aunt would always complain because we would everybody eventually just started showing up late. We'd show up at like 7 and we'd eat by 8. And she'd be like, why is everybody showing up late? Like, I want people to hang out and then we'll eat. But we're like, people are showing up ready to eat, hungry, and then we're not eating until 4 hours later. Anyways, yeah. So now the cousins are now hosting it and the aunts, the parents aren't. So my mom and my aunt aren't hosting. And so my cousin, she's like, we're meeting at 3 and we're going to eat by 4. So everybody, of course, shows up at 4, like ready to eat at 4. And my aunt, who has the majority of the food, like, you know, like the baked mac and cheese and the greens and shit, she doesn't show up until like 7 o'clock. And so everybody's pissed off at her. And she's like, why is everybody upset? And it's like, because we all got here at 4 and we said we were going to eat at 4 and you showed up 3 hours late. And mm-hmm. she doesn't see any issue with it at all. And so we're now going to lie to her and say that we're going to eat at like 1 now so that she hopefully shows up by 4 so that we could eat by 4. But that's is the older generation, you know, that whole thing with CP time. That's yeah. Them. That's them. They've handed it down to us and we're trying to break that stereotype, but they want to keep to it. So yeah, it's a thing, and the kids aren't happy. The kids who are now adults aren't happy about it. So we got to figure this shit out. But other than that, my Thanksgiving was good. Great. The food was great. The kids were healthy by Thanksgiving, so they enjoyed it. Got to see the cousins. So that was nice. And yeah, watched a ton of basketball this week. Watched some wrestling, but I'm not going to really talk much about that. A-Dub, how has your 2 weeks been?
Not too bad, my good man. Thanksgiving, we finally made the trek back out to Canyon Country, did it with the whole extent, not the whole extended family, but a good chunk of the extended family. You know, sister couldn't make it, but had my brother, my mom, and my dad, you know, cousins and uncles I haven't seen in ages. It was just nice to, you know, shake hands, give those hugs, reconnect with all the people that I haven't seen in a while, meet all the new people that, you know, came into existence while I wasn't around. And yeah, man, overall, it was a very good time. It was I showed up a couple hours late, so maybe I'm part of the other side of the rift in your family. I don't know. But yeah, man, just had a good time with that. And you know, finally put in the effort, made some cookie dough this year because I made some cookies for a friend of mine before they went out of town. So now I got a bunch of cookie dough, so your boy could just bake up some fresh ones whenever the hankering arises. What else has been going on? You know, just cleaning up, getting back on my routines. I've been lazy the past couple of weeks. I haven't done any kind of exercise and starting to feel it, starting to see it. So I gotta get that train back on the tracks these coming weeks, especially with the winter break coming up. You know, have a couple of weeks off work. So, you know, want to roll into that with some positive momentum and be able to utilize that time to, you know, really put a dent in building back better, triple being. So, what else has been going on? You know,
That
the good old
Biden.
days when things were almost sane again. We almost had it. But, yeah, reminiscent aside, you know, Ben, I saw the Running Man with my brother, and that was awesome. Glenn Powell, even though he has a very tiny mouth, it stands out to be like nothing else. It was a great movie. It really captured the spirit and the essence of the Arnold Schwarzenegger starred original. And just everybody in that movie was having a good time being in that movie. Like, Colman Domingo was just chewing on every scene with just his whole mouth. It was great. That man was just drinking it in. There was a moment, and I hope this isn't a spoiler, but there was a moment when Colman Domingo's like doing his television soliloquy, and there's just money falling from the sky, like just gently, like a light drizzle. It's not a lot. It's not so much that it's like, damn, it's money falling from the sky. Like, it's just enough to be background. It was so perfect. But yeah, man, that was an awesome film. I don't know if I mentioned. Oh, so then that means I also saw the Chainsaw Man movie in the time that we were away. And that was good too. I wanted to watch season one before I went in to go watch the movie to refresh myself. Because yeah, when I'm watching the movie, I remember the general scope of Chainsaw Man. I forgot all the like details and intricacies and, you know, character personality quirks and things like that. So I forgot that Chainsaw Man was a pretty sexual show. So it was a little jarring at times with certain scenes and certain lines spoken. But after like a couple minutes, it was like, ah, Chainsaw Man. So yeah, but that's about that, man. You know, just trying to keep the steam in the engine until we get to this break and I can finally relax in full. Well, yeah, man, that's about it.
Well, you haven't been working out, so I know you've been gaming. So how's that gaming life been?
And let me clarify something. Some of the times when I don't work out, it's because I've justified it in my mind based on some game I'm playing, like, oh, but Stalker 2 came back, you know, it's been a while, I haven't played it in months, it's time for me to like really dive into it, I'll work out tomorrow. Tomorrow comes, it's like, no, I'll be playing Stalker 2.
Yeah, but that
I just got a new anomaly detector. You know, I just got a new set of armor that it has better stats than what I've been wearing for a majority of the game. So I'm starting to pay into that. No, I just got the new town where I can sell broken weapons. So all those I've been stockpiling, I can finally sell them all. It's a lot going on. Got my Saiga shotgun. I got to get that in the mix. Because once I have that, then Bloodsuckers will be doing. If you haven't guessed by now, the big thing that I've been playing is Stalker 2. It finally launched on PlayStation 5. Last time I played it was on the Series X back in February of this year. So it's been like a solid 9 months since I really had some serious sit-down time with it. And man, let me tell you, I made a very wise decision waiting as long as I did. And I'm starting to have a little support for the crowd that's all about not buying games on day one, because dude, just all the patches and improvements that they made to Stalker 2 in that interim period where I wasn't playing it, it feels like the game it was suggesting it was the last time I played it. And the main reason I stopped was because I've talked about it time and time again, but the enemies, like, they would see you through dense foliage, like in the middle of night while it's raining, and they would hit you with pinpoint accuracy with sawed-off shotguns from like 50 meters away. You couldn't zigzag, you couldn't run from it. Like, if you didn't get the drop on somebody with a gun first, they were probably just going to drill a hole straight through your body. It was ridiculous. But now they fixed all of that. So now there's damage drop off for the enemies. Like, they'll graze you if you're too far. And it's like, you can be far away, you can be getting like just clipped or grazed with shots instead of just every bullet is right on target. So I'm finally able to play it and like experience the back and forth of the gunplay. And it feels awesome, dude. Like, it's nice to just, pop out, hear dudes calling out what they're doing. Like, somebody's throwing a grenade. All right, let me move over here. Oh, this dude says he's flanking. Let me see him coming around on the side. Like, oh, I see this dude repositioning in the background. Let me leave my position so he still thinks I'm there. Like, the stealth works. I can hide in the bushes. Most of the time, people don't detect me. They're just like noticing me, and then I'll crouch, I'll creep away, figure out where they are, pull the scope up, let off a couple. This man, oh, it's so good. It's so good. It's such a great game. Currently, I'm coming up on about 80 hours, maybe 90, and I'm almost to 50% completion. I just, for the stalkers in the community, I just got out of Circa, which is a mission that takes place about a third of the way of the game. It's a major mission, and when you come out of it, like, you've made major decisions. And things change on the map. Like, now I got the Monolithians running around, and it's a pretty big deal, because now the world is tougher, and all the stuff that I had that gave me an edge in combat and gave me just that extra oomph I needed in order to be better than what I was facing. Yes. It's not doing that no more. Now the enemies are on a different level. Like, it seems like more mutants are spawning in the world as well. I'm seeing new anomalies, and man, it's wild. So now I gotta look for new equipment, look for new towns and better technicians that can work on higher grade materials, and so I can get my newer or my better weapons working more properly, so I can find higher value loot and be able to afford the kind of resources that I'm going to need in order to continue to push the game. It's an excellent balance. It's an excellent just push and pull of how all the systems work together. And like it just kind of hits you when you take a step back and find yourself in the middle of an abandoned airfield with just destroyed helicopters all around you. The whole map is populated with gravitational anomalies, which are these circular warps in the world, while a pack of mutant rats is trying to chase you, and they're getting knocked out by anomalies. Some of them are making it through and biting you. You're jumping on helicopter blades trying to solve a puzzle so you can get a stash and hopefully get some hardware that'll improve your armaments. There's nothing like it. It's man. It's awesome. I highly recommend Stalker 2 to it. Like, if you're a fan of, let's say, Bethesda RPGs, I believe Stalker was a franchise that was inspired by the original Fallouts. So it's you really see it, but then you also value the uniqueness of its portrayal, where it's taking place. It's awesome. Everybody should get into it. On top of that, I decided to I got a little piece of Ghost of Yote. It's been a while. I needed to refresh myself on the controls, and still beautiful game. Still got a long way to go on the story, but it just felt nice to get back in that combat. Remind myself that I still got it. Like, okay, I could come back to this. And with that, I also got a little bit of Ball Pit today. No, I'll talk too much about that. It was fun to come back. And like I just picked two characters that I hadn't played before because you don't complete the game until you've beaten every level with every character. So I'm trying to work on that. And I decided to pair, it's a character that plays the game turn-based. And then there's a character that plays the game on their own and makes decisions automatically. I put them together as a team and sent them into a level. AFC, why? It not only is it playing the whole level on its own, but it's in a turn-based mode where like it'll line up a shot, shoot all the balls, you'll wait for the balls to do their thing, and then like the enemies will move forward a little bit, you'll move forward a little bit, and then it just keeps going like that. And the whole time the computer's just making all the choices, showing me combinations of balls I've never seen before. And I was like, damn, this motherfucker is killing it. And yeah, they went on and completed the level on their own. I got to enjoy the fruits of their labor and continue to build out the town and work toward a full completion of that game. Like, Ball Pit is awesome. And who knows, we might be talking about it a little bit later in the show. There is one major omission here, which some of you may have noticed, and that is Ark Raiders. Because once Stalker 2 came out on PlayStation and I really sank my teeth into it, I gotta finish that meal. It's been too long. I wanted to just continue to dig deeper into Stalker 2 for most of this year. And don't get me wrong, it was a perfect time to step away from Ark Raiders because that's about the time the cheaters and the exploiters had figured out how to glitch through walls, which they were using to gain access to locked rooms with high value loot that they would completely clean out and then wait in the room for people with keys to unlock it that would then go inside and get shot to death because they didn't expect anybody to be in there. So Embark has not fixed that issue. However, what they've done is they've installed flamethrowers inside of locked rooms. So if people glitch through the walls, they'll just get roasted and that's it. So that's a nice compromise, and that's about what I needed to happen in order to feel more confident going back into Ark Raiders. It's just that kind of like exploiting and doing things that aren't intended for the experience that can really turn people off of a multiplayer experience. And I'm one of those people. So, Stalker 2 came at just the right time. I'll get back to Ark Raiders eventually. It's still a phenomenal game, still one of my favorite experiences of this year, but it needed a break. But AMC, what have you been playing?
A couple games. I'm only going to focus on one mainly. Play a little bit of Overwatch 2, just more work with Zenyatta. Zelda, pushing forward on to my third Sage, which is leading me to, I guess, a water temple. And the whole sequence to get to that water temple has been absolutely awesome. Just reconnecting with the Zora, getting my old armor that allows me to swim up waterfalls. And through that, having to clear out this area of sludge. What this game does really well is you played Breath of the Wild, and then to return to that world in Tears of the Kingdom, and it's now messed up. Like certain areas are just completely different. Like there's one area full on blizzard when you get there, and it's because of like this ship. And so you go, you take out the ship, or you get it under control, and then you see the change in the area. The blizzard's gone. There's still snow, but it's not obstructing your view. It's not too cold where you don't have to wear like the warmest of clothing, but and stuff like that. In this area where the Zora were, there's a sludge falling from the sky, and so there are just areas of the map that you can't walk over. What I eventually learned is if I throw water on the sludge, it'll clear it away. And so through that, I've been able to uncover some things. But basically, we had to figure out how to get around the sludge in order to get to this water temple. And so I did everything that I needed to do there, and now I'm about to head there. So that'll be cool because I'm loving having these sages with me. And if I get a third one, I will be so happy. But the main game I've been playing, Split Fiction, new game, started it up. It was that time of the year. Basically, it's funny. What got me to play Split Fiction is the same thing that got me to play It Takes Two. And I absolutely loved It Takes Two. But it was a game that I had pretty much slept on. And then knowing that it was a great co-op experience, it was just I'd played other games. And then right around the Game Awards, I believe it won the Game of the Year, or it was nominated. And I was like, oh shit, It Takes Two got nominated? Let me check this out. Marissa and I played it. We absolutely loved it. Same thing this year. Split Fiction comes out early this year, and I hear great things about it. But over the course of the year, just playing Doom and other games, lose track of Split Fiction. We're playing Stardew Valley for a lot of like the second half of this year, and we were finished with that. We were getting reconnected with shows and movies. I hear people talking about Split Fiction once again for the Game Awards because it's nominated for one of the I think best game direction, one of the things. And I was like, oh yeah, Split Fiction, and I'm hearing good things about it. And of course, it happens also to coincide right around Black Friday, so I hop on PSN, see there's a sale going on, and it I think it was dropped like 35% or something like that. So I was like, oh hell yeah, picking up Split Fiction. Marissa said she was down. We hop in, immediately loving the game. Already a great co-op experience, which you know from this studio. But yeah, with Split Fiction, what's great is two female protagonists, both are authors, and that's what you quickly learn, like the title Split Fiction, because the one is a sci-fi writer, the other one's a fantasy writer. Without getting too into the details of the plot, basically you end up in their heads and you're playing through their books. What makes It Takes Two great and takes it a step further in Split Fiction is the sequences within the game. And so It Takes Two, you would have these sequences where you're going from one place to another, and then like some crazy stuff would happen. Like the most memorable one is there's one point where we're flying and we're trying to get away from these squirrels. This is It Takes Two, and Marissa's we're I'm flying the plane, so I'm steering the plane, trying to avoid, I guess, obstacles. And while that's happening, the squirrel happens to get on the plane. And so Marissa, it's one of those planes where, you know, those old school, like I don't know if it was World War II, but the ones where you have like the really long like wing on top of the plane as well as below it.
Oh,
And
my
so yeah, the
place.
biplane, yeah. And so Marissa is standing on top of the top wing,
What?
fighting the squirrel, and it's totally like a
Fight the
Street Fighter.
squirrel.
Yeah, and like they have the health like Street Fighter style, and she's battling it while I'm flying the plane and trying to like steer it. And so like things like that, and so there'd be sequences like that are very memorable. And so it's Split Fiction. The way it works here is you're basically playing through the books that they have written. Like at one point you're playing through a fantasy and you're running from these trolls, and it's like you're running and it's almost like a quick time event, but you're very much controlling your character. But it's like you're running, you gotta double jump to this thing, you learn how to wall run, you wall run, jump to this platform. Through that we also learn about like the grappling hook, so we could grab onto certain things and swing. And so it's a very fun experience, like just running from these trolls. The next thing you know, we end up in with a sci-fi book. And we're playing as a cyber ninja. And so I have like my character has a sword, so I'm meleeing dudes up. Marissa has character has like a whip, and so she can pick up things and throw them at the enemies. We're battling through that. But then what's also great is because it's a co-op experience, is then there's the co-op puzzle solving. So there'll be certain things where I have to whip myself over, or like zip with my cyber ninja dash over to like this obstacle, open it up, and then Marissa has to grab like a barrel and then throw the barrels at the thing that I opened up to then, you know, shut the machine down or whatever. And certain things like that. They're in the puzzle, in the fantasy area, there were these trolls. We needed to get by the trolls, and we quickly realized, like, oh, one person has to distract the trolls while the other person sneaks by. And then once that person sneaks by, then that person has to distract the trolls to create an opening for the other person. And just certain things like that. Like, as you're playing through it, it's you're not just playing side by side, doing your own thing. You're actually cooperating and communicating. And so it ends up being one of those great experiences, much like an Overcooked, where when people look at like gaming as a very solitary thing, these are one of those things that I feel like helps like build like relationships. Absolutely love Split Fiction. Like it's gonna be one of my favorite games that I've definitely played this year and in a while. We've put in maybe 3 hours at this point, but it was more than enough. Marissa was hooked on it. I'm hooked on it, and she connects on it in two on two levels. One, it's just a great game, but then she's an avid book reader, and so like jumping back and forth between the sci-fi and fantasy, mainly fantasy, which is like her Jones. She really enjoys like those sequences and that character who's like a fantasy writer, and so she's connecting to
Very
like
interesting.
the subject matter within the game, and so it's just a great overall experience, and I'm absolutely loving it.
That's
I'm
awesome.
already in recommendation mode for Split Fiction, but yeah, that's all I got there. A dub. Let's
How do
take
you
a.
feel
Oh yes.
about the difference or improvement between the elements of It Takes Two compared to Split Fiction?
So I would say at this point, I actually haven't really noticed a huge difference. Like the sequences are different than what you played through. Like out so in It Takes Two, you're playing as these two parents that are basically about to split up, and you have a kid, and so it's fucked up for the kid, and you get caught up in the kid's basically the kid creates like this world and like you get sucked into that world of imagination of that child. And so through that, you're through playing through the game and all the co-op and the working together and communicating, you're actually rebuilding these two characters' relationship, and it's what gets them back together for the kids. So it's actually very it's a very like warm and heartfelt story as you're playing through it. Whereas this one, it's like these two characters, one's an introvert, one's an extrovert. So the relationship is more about like just their the clash of their personalities, but then learning that through their love of books and writing and everything, that how they get along. And so I would say more as at least as of right now, the tone is different, because the first one was a little more whimsical because you're playing through the imagination of a child, whereas this one, it does have the fantasy to it, but it's more you're playing through the writer's mind. So it's a little more adult, a little more there's the enemies are more threatening from that standpoint. But the sequences, I would say, I mean, like obviously like it didn't have like the telekinesis and shit like that, like the whip, being able to pick things up with the whip and hurl it at enemies. So I would say some of the action sequences weren't necessarily in It Takes Two, but I also think I'm so early within the game that right now they're introducing a lot of the elements to me, and once we get past that point and it opens up, I think that's where they'll start to really like let their imaginations run wild and incorporate a lot of the new gameplay mechanics that have come out since It Takes Two. 'Cause that's what it really seems like when you're playing through these games. It's almost like they're taking a lot of different things from other games and they implement them into the sequences of the game. And so I could see that, like them taking certain things that are really popular in gaming right now and implementing that into the later portions of the game. So as of right now, it feels very much like It Takes Two, but I can see that they're starting to do some different things, especially like with the melee when I was playing as the Cyber Ninjas. So it'll be interesting to see how that part of the game evolves. But that's one of those things I'll come back to, and I'll let you know how if the game has like stepped it up in a whole nother level. So that's what's really like sucked me back into it. But yeah, that's all I got there. Let's take a break, A-Dub, and we'll come back with our huge topic of the week.
Topic of the week.
All right, we are back, A-Dub. Oh, we got a big one today. You want to lead us off with our first and probably only topic of the week?
Topic of the week. Don't mind if I do. AMC. You guys know it's that time of year. Tis the season. The Game Awards are the reason. The
Yes.
nominations. Yeah, the nominations came out, I want to say last week or over the last week or something like that. We weren't. Well, not last week. You know what I mean? A couple
We
weeks
missed
ago.
last week. Yeah, we missed last
Yeah.
week.
Yeah, so
And
we
it would
weren't
have been
here.
last week's episode, yeah.
Yeah, we weren't here to do it in the proper time, but we're making it up today and we're starting from the bottom up on our list. We'll let you know who the nominees are. We'll let you know who we think should be in those spots. And we're going to be taking notes this time and do a little comparison after, all the awards are announced. So look forward to that when the Game Awards finally air. I think, what, December 9th this year or something of that nature. AMC, you got the list. You're going to be reading off some nominees. I can read off some nominees as well if I find it. There it is. All right, so I'll lead off the first category. We're only going to do the ones we're really interested in. We're not going to go through all that stuff or even things where we like barely or don't have any kind of hands-on time with the nominees. So we're just going to hit you with the highlights that we care about the most. First off, most anticipated. Tell you who the nominees are. We got 007 First Light, Grand Theft Auto 6, Marvel's Wolverine, Resident Evil Requiem, and The Witcher 4. AMC, who do you think's taking this one?
Is Witcher 4 coming out next year? That's happening.
I highly doubt it. Well, I mean, it's most anticipated. It's not necessarily like coming out
Okay.
next
I mean,
year. Well, I mean, maybe.
I'm anticipating Elder Scrolls 6 5 years, 10 years from now.
That's an excellent point. It should have been nominated. I don't know what that's about.
Yeah, it's hilarious. Okay, so we're just doing
Oh,
what we think is gonna
maybe it
win.
is.
Yeah. I mean, we did see that whole tech display for Unreal, so maybe they have a lot more done than what we anticipated.
No, I don't believe that shit. Don't do that.
that. Let's see. So we're just doing what we think is gonna win, right? Not necessarily what we want to win.
I mean, we could do either, or I could put a comma.
Okay. So yeah. So the first one we think is gonna win, I'm gonna say Grand Theft Auto 6. What do I want to win? Ah, fuck it. I'm gonna go Grand Theft Auto 6. So yeah, you just write down Grand Theft
Nice.
Auto 6 for me. Yeah.
I got you. Me, who do I think is gonna take this category? Well, I know for certain that Grand Theft Auto 6 is winning. There's just no way that doesn't happen. I'll be shocked if that doesn't happen. I'm not gonna do anything out of the ordinary to atone. But the one I want to win, just based on like coming out next year, something I've seen, something I know, because GTA is kind of messed up. It was most anticipated last year, and then it delays, and now it might more than likely be most anticipated this year. I don't think that's fair. Honestly, I see. I don't necessarily want it to be Wolverine, but I know it would be were it not for Grand Theft Auto 6. I'm gonna say 007 First Light. I think people are sleeping, and I think that once the hype gets real, once we get closer to release, maybe we'll see something a little different. But AMC, you want to get the next category?
Yeah, we got best adaptation. Let's read it. Recognizing outstanding creative work that faithfully and authentically adapts a video game to another entertainment medium. So, the nominees for this category, we got a Minecraft movie, we got Devil May Cry, rolling, 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 rolling.
Oh, you checked
We
it
got
out.
no, I didn't. I just know that that's the intro. That's the
Okay. It
Splinter
goes
Cell.
hard.
Splinter Cell, Death Watch, The Last of Us Season 2, and Until Dawn. Let's see. So, oh yeah, I'll let you lead off since I chose first last time. What you have
No
for?
problem. No problem. What I think is gonna win. Honestly, I'm gonna say I think a Minecraft move. No, wait a minute. Oh no, it's not here. There's no Fallout here. I guess it must have. Oh yeah.
I mean, did not come out this year?
Oh,
Maybe it did come out
I
2 years
think it did come
ago.
out last year. I think it did come out last year. So yeah, never mind. Never mind about those notes. But I'm gonna say a Minecraft movie is gonna win. Write that down.
And
Minecraft. Who do I think, or who do I want to win? Honestly, I want Minecraft to win. I think Minecraft is a solid adaptation, regardless of what people say or what their notions are about. I mean, I enjoyed Devil May Cry, especially keep rolling, rolling.
roll, roll, roll.
Dude, every 30 minutes you get to hear that after you watch some anime. It was like, it didn't, it wasn't what I would have wanted from a Devil May Cry anime, but I thought it was all right. It was a decent watch. No offense to the Sam Fisher fans. I tried to watch Splinter Cell Death Watch, but just that heady, like, spy government political stuff, I just can't wrap my head around it. Didn't watch Until Dawn, didn't watch The Last of Us television series season one or two. So, I'm just dealing with what I have experience with. But how about yourself, AMC?
Yeah, I'm going Minecraft to win, and I think Minecraft should win. So right now we're lining up. I
Well,
would
except for
I think
007.
yeah, I think if from what I've heard, the snub here is I think Sonic came out and people were saying that actually was a good movie and they didn't
Sonic
give it
3.
yeah, and
Oh, yeah,
it
it was
didn't
awesome.
yeah, and it didn't get nominated here, so I think people were upset that that didn't get on this list. We know how people feel about, I mean, everybody loved Last of Us season one, and surprise, surprise, everybody hated season two. So at least if anything, gamers are consistent with their hate. So and then yeah, I don't really know much about Splinter Cell, but good on you. Until
It was
Dawn.
cool. It looks all. I mean, I'm gonna go back and watch it, but just insofar as being able to cut it on and for it to grab my attention, it didn't do that.
So yeah, that's all I got there. You got the next category, Ada.
You bet I do, and that would be best multiplayer.
Player.
Player. Oh no, that's not the right thing. F, there we go. Best multiplayer nominees are Ark Raiders, Battlefield 6, Elden Ring, Night Reign, Peak, and Split Fiction. AMC. The winners are.
Oh my gosh. Because the thing is, there's the who do I there's obvious who I want to win. But let's see, who do I think is gonna win? This is a tough one, because I mean, if you had asked me a week ago, I would have said Ark Raiders because A-Dub was all over it. But
Oh
then a week
God.
later, Stalker comes out and A-Dub's off of it. So I don't know. Let's see.
Could curb player count, I
Yeah.
don't
But same thing with Battlefield 6. I mean, people were playing Battlefield 6. So,
The Ark Raiders came.
damn. So, you know what? I'll say Battlefield 6, I think, will likely win. They got their shit together. People seem to enjoy it. And it's, I mean, people are, it's Battlefield. It's back. It's doing the damn thing. And they've modernized it in a way that I feel like people have criticized. You notice who's not on this list, Call of Duty. And they've modernized it, at least in a way where people are noting it, especially because I believe it's next gen only, whereas Call of Duty is still cross gen. There's, the full destructibility. They're doing a lot of shit here. They got Vince behind the helm. That I'm gonna give it to Battlefield 6, but my heart obviously is with Split Fiction. If Split Fiction won, I'd be so happy, but I'm going Battlefield 6. A dub, how about you? Who do you think should win and who do you think is gonna win?
Let me see. I'll start with who do I believe is going to win? I'm gonna say Split Fiction. I mean,
Oh, I hope so.
the hype for that game was real and still is. Like, people will still conjure Split Fiction in discussion. They will still recommend it to people. They will still talk about stories of how people played it and it blew their minds. So yeah, Split Fiction, I think that's gonna take it. What I want to win, Ark Raiders, baby, because that one won me over. And I didn't know what to make of it. It sold me on the concept of extraction shooters. It launched beautifully. Like, the game was just ready to go day one. That's very rare for these kind of games, so I gotta respect and give credit where that's due. Embark has also been excellent with their support of the community, their responses to issues and complaints. I mean, overall, it was just a fantastic experience all the way up until folks started squeezing through walls and camping out in locked rooms. But I like the roadmap. I like what Embark is doing here. I love Arc Raiders, so that's what I want to win. AMC, next category.
All right, we got Best Family next. Let me make
Nope.
sure. Yeah, Best Family. For the best game appropriate for family play, irrespective of genre or platform. There's a heavy hitters out here. We got Donkey Kong Bonanza. We got Lego Party. We got Lego Voyagers. Man, I got to play all these games. Mario Kart World, Sonic Racing Cross Worlds, and Split Fiction. So, A-Dub, I'll let you lead off. Who do you think is going to win, and who do you want to win?
Having no hands-on experience with any of these games, normally I would personally skip this category. However, just looking at the nominees and thinking about the category, I feel like it's what's gonna win is like Mario Kart. What should win, or at least what I would want to win, is something like Lego Party, because that seems to be the most family-oriented game on this list, just from an outside looking in kind of perspective. So yeah, I'm gonna say Mario Kart to win, Lego Party, I want to win, AMC.
I'm gonna go with to win Donkey Kong because, I mean, Theo, it's the game that he wants more than anything. He's like, when are we doing this? And everybody
Did he
that's talked about
say
it, yeah,
that?
when are we doing it? No. He said he wants the game, but and then it's also another game that critically has been on people's game of the year list. And so you put those two things together, I feel like it's right there for Best Family. The only thing I would dock it for, because I don't really know it as a co-op game. I think of it as a single player game, and typically with family, you want to think about it's embracing everybody, and so that would then lend for like Lego Party, Voyager, Split Fiction, the co-op nature of those, obviously the cart games. But I feel like Donkey Kong gets it. It's the game that appeals across all ages, and everybody enjoys it, and you just run around breaking shit. So it's something that's playable for everybody. So I think Donkey Kong should win it. Or I think Donkey Kong will win it and should. Yeah, you know what? I'm going to keep it at Donkey Kong. Mario Kart was right there, but I feel
Oh.
like Mario Kart came out and people enjoyed it, but there's not a lot of discussion about the game. So I feel like it's one of those ones that I don't know if it's necessarily going to capture the imaginations of the judges when it comes to voting. So I'm going to go with Donkey Kong for both.
Interesting. I got best RPG next.
Yes. Where are you looking it up on?
I'll push square.
Okay, I'm on Mashable, the Game Awards website. They have it broken down pretty well.
Yeah, sorry. I was doing well searching their page until we get to RPG role dash playing game. There we go. So the nominees are Avowed, Clair Obscur, Expedition 33, Kingdom Come Deliverance 2, Monster Hunter Wilds, The Outer Worlds 2, 2, 2, AMC. What do you think?
Damn, this is a tight one. If it was earlier in the year, I would have said Kingdom Come Deliverance because people were loving that game. It still could definitely win it. Outer Worlds coming at the end of the year, people are enjoying it. It's funny, it seems like the more we are from Avowed, people are starting to be more positive about it. I feel like at launch, people had their criticisms like, oh, I expected more. And then as we get away from it, they're like, oh, wait, it's Obsidian. We actually like this game again. And we want to see another one. Let's see. So who I think is going to win it? It's weird because I don't know if. I know Expedition 33 is going to be winning. Or they should be winning multiple. It's just a matter of are they going to be just sweeping every category that they're in, or they'll just save them for the big one. But in this case, I'm going to just go with Expedition 33 to win it, and who do I think should win it? Ah, damn. You know what? Fuck it. I'm gonna just keep it. Expedition 33 for both.
The double, handed over the double. Let me see. I mean, I like seeing the Obsidian representation, especially for how mean people were to Avowed after it came out.
I mean, just from the
Haven't,
get-go, I was like, oh, it's the colors.
yeah.
It's too brown.
I mean, I wouldn't really call Monster Hunter Wilds an RPG, but maybe I'm wrong there. I think it was just tacked on there. But whatever.
Was
Kingdom.
what do you consider World an RPG?
Not really.
Yeah.
It's, I don't know. Like kind of a dungeon crawler, I guess.
Yeah, okay.
But or a loot grinder, like that kind of, but I guess those are action RPGs. I don't know. It just doesn't feel that way. But
Yeah.
Kingdom Come, like, people have been loving that game, and they say it's a massive improvement over the original. Clair Obscur, of course, that came in like a wrecking ball. Like, I'll say Clair Obscur to win, but I'm gonna put Kingdom Come should win. AMC, you got that next category.
Yes, for the next category, we have Best Action Adventure. Oh, sorry, I'm off of the mic. Best Action Adventure. Let's see. For the Best Action Adventure game, combining combat with traversal and puzzle solving. Oh, it sounds like Forspoken. Let's see. The nominees are Death Stranding 2, On the Beach, Ghost of Yote, Hollow Knight Silksong, Indiana Jones and the Great Circle. It's Split Fiction. Yeah, Split Fiction all over this. I'm loving it. All right, A Dub. Who do you think is gonna win Best Action Adventure, and who do you want to win it?
Best action. This is gonna be a double vote. I think Hollow Knight Silksong is just the most, like, you gotta earn every step you take in that game. Every single step, every breath you take is, you have worked for it. And it is by far one of the best experiences that I've had so far playing it. I haven't completed it yet, but I think it's worthy of taking home the honor here. So, Hollow Knight Silksong for both, because I think it'll just stand on its own, man. How about you, AMC?
I think Hollow Knight will win. This fucking Hollow Knight. And I think who should win is Split Fiction.
That's what I'm
I'm
talking
telling you,
about. I love
man.
that support. I love it.
It's so fun. It's like I just love playing the game. As I said, it's all about the sequences, which is right there with the action adventure. But then it also says this category, you got to have a little puzzle solving in there. And there's a lot of co-op puzzle solving where you get to a certain thing and it's like, oh, let me do this. And you think you can do it on your own. You're like, nah, I need the other person because they got to do something else. And so it's a lot of like multifaceted, like you got to do this while I'm doing this. You got to time it right. But then there's also just the figuring out of it. So I feel like it's a good blend of action and with the puzzle and the traversal elements. So I would want Split Fiction to win, but I think Hollow Knight's, I mean, it's Hollow Knight, so Silk Song's taking
Oh,
it.
so good.
Let's see. And you said Hollow Knight for both of them, right?
I said Hollow Knight for both. You're down
Okay.
for Hollow Knight and Split
All
Fiction.
right.
So I'm liking that representation we got going there.
All right, you got the next one.
Best action game. This is just when you want to tear shit up without all that adventure getting in
Give me something to break.
the way. Every 10 steps. Best action game. The nominees are Battlefield 6, Doom the Dark Ages, Hades 2, Ninja Gaiden 4, and Shinobi: Art of Vengeance,
Damn.
AMC.
Let's see who I think is gonna win it. Damn. See, Shinobi's just sitting down there. I'm like, are they gonna be hipster with this and give it to Shinobi? But I think Doom is gonna win it, and
Oh.
I think. See, the problem is I haven't played Hades 2, so I know it's good. I've heard so many great things about Shinobi, but I also think Doom should win it. So Doom for both.
Oh, I like that. I like that. Honestly, I'm gonna come out of left field with this. I think Ninja Gaiden 4 is gonna win this because it's pretty much just a combat system in corridors. And that's what people, not everybody's been wanting, but people have been excited about it and are loving it. I know character action folks that they just want the combos, the moves, them cancels, all that stuff. And Ninja Gaiden fits that mold. What I want to win, I would say Shinobi: Art of Vengeance, because it is a ninja-oriented Metroidvania, which is something I'm very interested in. I also really like the art style, so it's on my wish list, and I'm looking forward to adding it to the collection one of these days. So hopefully we see it get some awards on its neck.
So
AMC.
you think Ninja Gaiden will win and then Shinobi should win?
Yes.
Okay, perfect. All right, next category. Let's
Next.
see. We got best debut indie game for the best debut game created by a new independent studio. This is gonna be a tough one. All right, so we got Blueprints, we got Clair Obscur Expedition 33, Despelote, and Dispatch. Dispatch
Yes.
coming in late in the year and hearing a lot of great things. Hey, Duh, what do you think's gonna who do you think's gonna win, and who do you think should win?
Well, Expedition 33 is definitely going to win, but I think Blueprints should win in this category. And there's a couple of reasons. One, I think Blueprints just it's another one of those games like Hades that gets people to like roguelikes even though they swear they hate them. And it's also in a completely like it's such an original and creative idea, even down to the name of the game being Blueprints, and the game is about building a house and you're like a prince or something, I don't know, but, or an heir to a family. So I would want, I think, I know Clair Obscur is winning this, and I need to see how I wrote it. Yeah, E33, and I want Blueprints to win. AMC, how about yourself?
Yeah, I think Expedition 33 is going to win, but I want to see Dispatch win. It's one of
Ooh.
those ones that they broke the mold on a lot of things that people have said you can't do. People hate episodic. They said it would never work. Dispatch made it work. And people were down on Telltale games, and they were able to make a Telltale game that people absolutely love. And you throw on top of that all the great voice acting that's connected to it, the performances, and just the gameplay. I want to see Dispatch win, because whenever you hear people say like, doing episodic is what ruined this game for me, and you get something like Dispatch, where they met all their deadlines, they got the game out in a way that there wasn't this huge wait in between the episodes, and everything I heard, people loved every episode. A game that I'm looking forward to playing eventually. So, yeah, I want Dispatch to win, but I mean, come on, Claire is right there. You know, Claire is going to be taking these. So, Claire is going to be winning this one.
Just take issue with that because I'm pretty sure it's not an independent game, at least by the definition of being self-funded and self-published. Is
You talking about
published,
Clair Obscur?
yeah.
Yeah.
It was published. It was published by Kepler Interactive. I don't know. We'll see what happens. But I really think one of the other nominees should take that category.
You got the next one?
And that would be best indie game.
Yeah. Let's see how different this one is.
Let's see. That's debut indie. Let's see who makes the cut.
Oh,
Everybody.
you played a lot of
Everybody.
these games, Ada.
Oh, did I? Let me see.
Told you to go
Oh,
to the Game Awards.
independent. I'm sure it's independent. There it is. Nominees. I'm getting sold. Absolume. Ball Pit. Blue Prince. Expedition 33, Hades 2, Hollow Knight Silksong, AMC, give us your thoughts.
It was a tough one, because I know how much you've loved Ball Pit and Absalom, but you got Silksong right there. And you got so this is the tough one, because now they're going head to head. You got Silksong and Expedition 33 going head to head. Jeez. 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 You know what? I'm gonna go with Silksong. It still feels like a little bit more of an indie to me than Clair Obscur. Yeah. And then who do I think should win? I mean, it would be awesome to see Ball X Pit win, just because you said it's just one dude. Yeah, I think it
Yes.
literally, I'm looking at developer and it's a dude's name.
Yeah.
It just says Kenny Sun. So yeah, I hope Ball Pit wins, but I think Hollow Knight's gonna win.
Very interesting, AMC, because I think we are of a similar mind. I think it's for me, it's like Hollow Knight and Ball Pit occupy two very different extremes of the indie development scene. Like I said, Ball Pit, developed by one guy, I think it I don't know if it's his first game, but like I said, developed by one guy, it's an outstanding experience, completely just a breath of fresh air, a combination of mechanics in a way that nobody else has done before. Outstanding. On the other end of the spectrum, Hollow Knight Silksong is a sequel to a successful indie game. So the developers, who still kept their team very small, they had all the money and the time that they needed to make the game exactly the way they wanted before they released. They were under no stresses, no pressure from any kind of corporate overlords telling them what to do, when to do it, and like, that's it. You're out of here, Buster. Like, none of that. They were the ones calling the shots, and they made the game that they felt the most confident in. And I think Hollow Knight is the bigger pick out of that, like the most sure thing that people will look to and be like, yeah, that's the best independent game of the year. For me, it's Ball Pit, though, because I greatly admire that entry level end of the spectrum where someone just has an awesome idea and realizes it in a beautiful fashion. So, yeah, Hollow Knight to win, Ball Pit in my heart, AMC.
Yeah, even I would say even down to like the launch of Silksong, like just like kind of shows the indie nature of it, how they kind of sprung it on everybody. And people were like, why would they do that? And it's like, well, because we had to, we want to make sure that our backers get the game first. And so then they didn't have any pre-orders for the game. And so it was just basically just dropped randomly. And it's all the reviews are coming out well after the game was released. And yeah, but they were loyal to their backers, and that's why it launched in the way it did. And it didn't matter because the game was still highly successful. So yeah, it's great to see that two sides of the spectrum. All right, next one. Best ongoing, a category that A Dub and I like. You know what? Let's take a quick break, A Dub. That would be a teaser when we come back from the break with more nominees for the Game Awards. All right, we are back with the nominees for the best ongoing game at the Game Awards. Awarded to a game for outstanding development on ongoing content that evolves the player experience over time. The nominees, A Dub, are Final Fantasy 14, Fortnite, Helldivers 2, Marvel Rivals, and No Man's Sky Expedition.
Breach, Worlds Part One and Two.
Let's see, A Dub,
Oh
what
yeah,
is it?
best ongoing. I mean,
You play two of these ones.
yes, I do. I've
Yeah.
played three of Yeah, it wasn't Marvel Rivals didn't resonate with me, but you know, the developers are paying attention to the community. They continue to come with seasons and new
They got
content.
Daredevil.
They got Daredevil, who actually looked, the gameplay looked kind of awesome with Daredevil. He's beating everybody's head. But yeah, Marvel Rivals is cool. But Helldivers 2, I think they kept their momentum going and they really turned things around after going through another little spate of negativity. But No Man's Sky, this was a big year for No Man's Sky because it felt like they picked up the frequency of their updates while also introducing some stuff that was, you know, greatly appreciated by the community, stuff that, you know, I wouldn't have even thought to ask for. Like, you know, they did the Worlds Part One and Two updates, which just made all the worlds better looking and more varied, and a whole lot of stuff changed, the water physics and waves and deep oceans and ecosystems and all that. But then they brought out the Corvette update, where now you have this big custom ship that you can build piece by piece according to the whatever pieces that you find out in space. They added space walking. They added derelict Corvettes you could scavenge from parts. Then they added breach, and it was just like, man, they are just pumping it out. And, you know, it's been ongoing since 2016, and it just continues to become a bigger and better version of itself. It continues to not impose any additional costs on its customers or its community, I should say. And it just continues to be lovingly supported by Sean Murray and the team over at Hello Games. So, yeah, man, insofar as this list goes, respect to the rest. I know Final Fantasy 14 turned it around, Fortnite, Eternal, biggest thing in the world. But I'll say who's going to win this. I'm sure people will probably say Helldivers 2, especially since it's finally made its appearance on Xbox. And I'm going to say what I want in my heart is No Man's Sky to take yet another honor in this category. How about
So
yourself,
the
AMC?
Helldivers will win No Man's Sky. You want to win?
Exactly.
Okay. Same. I'm same. So the way I'm looking at it, like Helldiver of all these games, Rivals when it came out, that was its moment, but I feel like it hasn't really captured it since then. Whereas I felt like Helldivers 2 captured a word I've been using often today, captured the imagination of gamers in that. With that ODST crossover, because
Yes, which I'm still equipped with.
yeah, it was a big deal because we've seen the the migration of Microsoft games over to PlayStation, but there's always like, well, what about Helldivers? Like, you want to build that audience, and we want that game. We promise to support it if you send it our way, and not only did they send it over there, but they brought in the Halo universe on top of it. And
Yes.
by all accounts, Matt Piscitella said it did sell on the Xbox, so they did show up and support it. And it was a moment. Like, I just remember getting the subs and all the PC and PlayStation people being like more than welcoming to the Xbox people to show up and help out the was it the super democracy?
Yes,
So.
super
Yeah, Super Earth. Yeah.
Earth spreading managed democracy.
Yeah. And so yeah, like it was a moment, and it was a bridging of gaps. Like, we're slowly seeing like the walled gardens like open up to a greater group. And I think Helldivers 2 was a moment, and done in the best way possible. Not just, hey, we're putting it out, but we're putting it out and we're bringing your content over. So we're shaking hands here, people, and everybody's happy. And so, because of that, I think Helldivers 2 will win it and should win it. I always prefer the comeback story, and No Man's Sky is one of the greater comeback story in gaming. So I would love to see No Man's Sky win it, but I think Helldivers is gonna, we're lined up here. No,
No
Helldivers
Man's
is gonna win.
Sky, it took it years to do so, but just with all the updates and things, I was finally convinced to try an expedition because of the breach update, and I had a blast doing it. It was actually it was a more structured slice of the game where, it's not so free and open. It's like, all right, here's your phases, here are your objectives, do this, you're done, here are your rewards, back to your world. And yeah, I really enjoyed that. I look forward to doing more expeditions. I've even discovered, not discovered, but it's been brought to my attention that they allow you to redo past expeditions from time to time. And I know there were some rewards. It's been like well over a dozen, almost two dozen, maybe three dozen expeditions by now. And there's a handful of things like ships and all kinds of parts that I wanted to get that I just missed out on. So I'm glad that you can get the redo. But yeah, man. Yeah. I'm excited to see the outcome of this category.
Yeah, you got the next one.
You damn right I do. It's best performance, right?
Yeah.
Right, still on the same page. Let me hopefully jump right to it. Like I'm supposed to. Backwards, best performance. It's an interesting category, AMC. The nominees are Ben Starr for his performance in Expedition 33, Charlie Cox for his performance in Expedition 33. We got your girl, Erika Ishii, for her performance in Ghost of Yote. We got your girl Jennifer English for her performance in Expedition 33.
You had to make it up for one.
We got your girl Kanatsu Kato for her performance in Silent Hill F. And we got your boy, Troy Baker, Indiana Jones, and the Great Circle, AMC. Tell them what it is and tell them what it should be.
I'm gonna go Troy for both. There is that
Oh.
albatross of Charlie Cox because I don't know how famous he is in the eyes of Jeff Keighley, but if you can get somebody famous on stage, there's that appeal to get Charlie Cox to show up. But
Expand his friend circle.
like hey, what's it called? Damn, I just lost his name. Kojima. Hey, Kojima, I got another
Expand
famous
Kojima's
person.
friend circle.
I got another famous person for you to hang out with. Let's see. But when Troy Baker, he became Indiana Jones. In the clips that I've seen, he got that voice down perfectly. On top of that, I believe it was the Game Awards that Troy Baker came out with Harrison Ford. So there's that connection. So Jeff Keighley might want to hook up his boy. But yeah, I think Troy got it. I think he earned it, and I think it lines up. How about you, Ada? Where you at with this one?
You think Jeff Keighley's making the long play to get Harrison Ford in the crew? Not trying to cast aspersions on you, man.
was with this breach, these breach wells or whatever
Who do I think will win? Interesting, because it's a couple of stories here. Number one is Troy Baker. Indiana Jones didn't make the deadline last year, so it's up this year. However, there's also your man Ben Starr, who some would say was snubbed for his performance in Final Fantasy 16. So I don't I would say who's gonna win. I think Ben Starr is getting his honor, man. I think that's gonna happen. Who I would want to win, I kind of want your man Troy to get a shine. So I'll say Ben Starr is gonna win, but Troy Baker should win in my heart. Cause that's your man Higgs. He was in another game this year where he was also outstanding, and that's Death Stranding 2, playing the returning character Higgs. And it's a
Guitar
marvelous
man.
performance. Guitar Man, yeah. So I don't I got through that scene too. It was every bit as good as it was when you watch it passively. But yeah, so Ben Starr, Troy Baker, AMC.
Let's see. The next one we got is best audio design. Audio design, right? Or do we skip that
Yes.
one? No, we
We
did a
could
score. We did
skip it as
score and
well.
No, we did score and music. That's right. Score and music. I'm not gonna have a strong opinion here, but let's run through these. Score and music for outstanding music inclusive of score, original song, and or licensed soundtrack. So that being Christopher Larkin for Hollow Knight Silksong, Hades
Oh.
2, we got Darren Korb, Clair Obscur, Lorien Tastard, Toma Otowa for Ghost Yote, and Death Stranding 2 on the beach,
You know my
Wood
wood
Kid
kid,
in
Ludwig
Ludwig.
Forssell.
Oh man, hey Dev, what you got for this one?
Who do I have for this one? I mean, Lorien's taking that award. Just if not for how great the music was, how the story of how that music ended up in that game. Like he was this they discovered him on SoundCloud. And next thing you know, he's scoring a video game, and it's one of the most fantastic scores in a game that I've heard in quite a long time, to the degree that I listen to it from time to time on Spotify. It's so good, so good. Who I think should win, honestly, for best score and music, you know what? I'm gonna double up. I'm gonna say Expedition 33 should win here. So, Lorien, you got my support. AMC,
Yeah,
how
make it
you
easy.
feeling?
Same for both Claire and Claire. All right, so we got the next one.
Best art direction, reaction, reaction,
Erection.
erection. Best art direction nominees. We got Expedition 33, Death Stranding 2 on the beach, Ghost of Yote, Hades 2, Hollow Knight Silksong, AMC, Your nominees for Best Art Direction. Who's the winner?
This is a tough one. I'm gonna go with Death Stranding for both right here.
Oh.
Yeah, because I'm gonna have a. It's gonna come down because we got best game direction, and
Yes.
you could bring up your boy, but I have a different game winning that category, so I'm gonna have your boy
Oh,
winning this one. So
interesting.
Kojima, come to the stage. You got best art direction. How about you, A-Dub?
Let me see who I think will win in this category. Gonna go with Expedition. I think people are poised and ready to shower Expedition 33 with all the awards that they possibly can. What I think should win, Hollow Knight Silksong, honestly, because it's, I haven't played Hades 2 and I love the art of that game. I'm sure that the developer has gone above and beyond to continue to stand on the shoulders of the original and improve upon their art direction in the necessary kind of ways, or even just in ways that you don't expect. However, with Hollow Knight Silksong, the thing that is really winning it over for me is that all of the art is, it's so detail oriented and it's all hand drawn. And it's like, Hades is also hand drawn, but like when I'm playing Silksong, when Hornet is running, she's like kicking up particles of what level she's in. Whenever she moves, there's like her cape furls and changes in every direction. When she jumps, she flips and there's flourishes and twists. And when enemies like throw a thing, you can hit the thing. And when you're moving through a level, you interact with these objects that you come into contact with as you're passing by. And it's every level, it's every step you take. Like the art isn't just there for show, it's also there for function and interaction to bring to life every single scene that you're just surviving your way through. So yeah, Hollow Knight Silksong, like it really opened my eyes to what could be possible with a 2D game that's very art driven, if given enough time and resources, it's just a masterpiece in that respect. So yeah, Expedition 33 to win, Hollow Knight Silksong in my heart.
Yote nowhere. You don't think it has a chance?
No, because like it's not that it doesn't have fantastic art direction. It does, especially with the technology that they've used to really bring to life the Yote region of Japan or wherever that region is. There's a bunch of regions, but it's like it's not it's incredibly picturesque and scenic. It looks like you're walking through a postcard, but it's not entirely original and just like fresh and different and unique. Like I don't want to say it's not original. But they're drawing from life and a real place in a real time, whereas these other games are creating newness and imagining different worlds, different times, different circumstances. And yeah, I always got to give credit to when things get more creative and just fresh and brand new. That's where I'm gonna put my heart.
All right, so here's the other one. So this is the one that I think a lot of people are gonna assume your boy is gonna be walking up on stage for. But this one is best game direction awarded for outstanding creative vision and innovation in game direction and design. So let's see, we got your boys Clair Obscur Expedition 33. We got Kojima Productions for Death Stranding 2.
That's right.
We got Sucker Punch for Ghost of Yote. We got Supergiant for Hades 2, and we got Haze Light for Split Fiction. Hey, Dove, who do you think is going to win, and who do you want to win? Best game direction.
Just the story alone with how Expedition 33 came to be, I think people are ready to hit it with this award. So I'm going to say Expedition 33 to win. However, I firmly believe it should go to your man Kojima, because what he's done with the Death Stranding
Boy.
franchise, it just like it, you can't, I really hope that he gets the respect he deserves in this category, because Death Stranding 2 is on another level that other games probably won't come near for a very long time. And it's just another lesson in the master course of gaming that Kojima puts on. So he definitely has that award in my heart, but I'm sure the ex-Ubisoft developers who came together in France and put together a game with a small team of developers is, you know, and contract workers is gonna win the hearts and minds of gamers everywhere and win the votes of the committee. But AMC, how do you feel?
Oh, that's a tough one. I feel like Death Stranding is gonna win it. I feel like Split Fiction should win it. The game is all about direction because, as I said, the game is all about the sequences. Like, as you're going from one book, you're going to the next one, and it quickly changes up like your character based on the genre that you're in, and then even the sequence feels very of that genre. Like you're in the sci-fi thing, you're doing sci-fi shit. You're in the fantasy, you're doing fantasy shit. And then you're gonna jump into other authors' heads. So I imagine it's also gonna open up from there. And so it just
Damn,
takes a
that's
lot
dope.
of a lot of creative vision to decide how these sequences play out and how they carry from one scene to the next. And so I would say Split Fiction should win, but Kojima ain't showing up for no reason at all. And this is his category. Game directions,
H. H
Kojima
showing up for no reason. You heard it here first.
I actually skipped over one. You got the next one.
Oh, that happened to be best narrative. Best narrative nominees are Expedition 33, Death Stranding on the Beach, Death Stranding 2, I should say, Ghost of Yote, Kingdom Come Deliverance 2, Silent Hill F, AMC, who you got winning? AMC, who you got winning?
Damn, best narrative. I mean, Kingdom Come hasn't won yet. Could they get this one? Yote had an interesting narrative for like that, that I enjoy the idea of. But I not having played any of these, not having played any of these, I'm gonna just go left field and say Silent Hill F takes this one. Who I think should win it. I'll go with Kingdom Come. They need to win an award by the end of this. So yeah, Silent Hill F will take it. Kingdom Come should win it.
Sitch F KCD 2. All right, who's going to win it? Best narrative. Ah, man, you know, I think there's going to be a left field thing going on here. I'm gonna say Kingdom Come is going to win it because I haven't heard anybody say anything bad about that. Like, just everything about the game, you say it's better than the original. It's they've said it to the point that don't play the second one before the first one, or you won't be able to play the first one. So I feel like if Kingdom Come is firing on all cylinders like that, especially telling a medieval tale, knowing my preferences and my beliefs about how fantasy is very boring, especially medieval fantasy of that nature that isn't fantastical with dragons and magic and the like and the sort, I think they must be telling a compelling story and weaving a very, very entrancing just fantasy of that time, like the peasant story. So yeah, I think Kingdom Come is going to take best narrative. Who should take best narrative? That's a little tough. I think Kingdom Come should. It's not tough. I lied. KCD 2. Yeah, it should win. I feel, because Death Stranding, like, you gotta follow that. And it's a lot of work for a lot of the story. Expedition 33, like, if this is gonna, if this, if I feel like it's probably going to be the game that wins here, but if it doesn't, I think Kingdom Come is right there. Ghost of Yote, you know, people writing articles about how Sony, all Sony games are the same right after Ghost and Yotei came out. So, that kind of gives you an idea of the temperature of how people feel about Ghost of Yotei. I've heard some negatives, and most of them focus on the story and how it's not terribly dissimilar from the first game. Silent Hill F, I mean, it's a horror game. I don't see people. If the story of the horror game was that great, I think we'd have heard a bit more about the horror game when the horror game came out. People loved it. I don't see a horror game given best narrative, not on this list. So yeah, Kingdom Come. Hear ye, let's see. I did best narrative, so AMC, it's on you to bring us home with the big one.
Final category, A-Dub, Game of the Year. Recognizing a game that delivers the absolute best experience across all creative and technical fields. The nominees are Clair Obscur Expedition 33. Whoops, accidentally clicked that. Death Stranding 2 on the Beach.
Oh.
Donkey Kong Bonanza. Hades 2, Hollow Knight Silksong, and Kingdom Come Deliverance 2. We know who the who people have been saying should win A-Dub. Who do you think is going to win, and who you think should win?
Who I think is gonna win is
Yeah.
Expedition 33. I'm not even gonna mince words about that. And the thing is, I want Hollow Knight Silksong to win because of that list. I feel like it was the best game of these choices. I think Ark Raiders got snubbed for a nomination by Kingdom Come. However, I don't think I haven't played Kingdom Come, so I can't remark of its quality. But Ark Raiders, it came out of nowhere. It legitimized the extraction shooter genre in a similar fashion that Gears of War legitimized cover shooters. And yeah, man, it came out of nowhere. It did well. It was well received. It was polished. It was well supported. It deserved to be here. However, just with the way things go, it seems like everyone's primed to not only give Expedition 33 the award, but to be thoroughly satisfied that it happened that way.
Just like carry the studio off on their shoulders, like carrying all
Yeah. Yeah, like it's,
the trophies.
and don't get me wrong, it's a fantastic game. It deserves to be on this list. It deserves to win. But it personally, I don't think it's the best game that came out this year. Of this list, I would say Hollow Knight Silksong easily, because that's a straight up game. And it's full of content, the likes of which you would never expect, and the developers definitely underpriced it, in my opinion. So it was accessible by lots of people. It was exactly the kind of game you would hope for, a worthy successor to the original Hollow Knight. It took so long, and then we finally got it, and it lived up to all the expectations. Clair Obscur, it came out of nowhere. Everybody was mesmerized by that initial gameplay trailer. And then as we got closer to the day released, realized that the hype was real and that it was just something the likes of which none of us ever expected. It deserves all the credit in the world for that. I just don't think it was the best game this year. So, Expedition 33 to win, Hollow Knight Silksong in my heart, AMC, what you got?
I got Clair Obscur to win, and I want Donkey Kong to win just because that would be my game of the year if I'd gotten to it. And it just looks amazing. It looks like a fun, just a great time. But yeah, Clair, it's the game I said. People are just championing this game for doing it all the right ways, to the point where people were just like, it was one guy with like a hammer and a chisel put this game together.
Yeah, the fan
it's
fiction is getting
just like
crazy.
the yeah, like the folklore around Expedition 33. So yeah, it's gonna win. It probably deserves it. A lot of people loved it. They did some good things with like turn base and taking it to another level from the it's what everybody wanted Final Fantasy to be doing at this point. And so there's something to that. And
Saying the
to
quiet part out loud, are we?
Yeah, it's gonna win, but yeah, I want Donkey Kong to win. It's The game looks absolutely amazing. Looks so fun. I can't wait to get to it. I've just been stuck on Zelda. And when I say stuck, I mean loving it to the degree that I can't just blow through it because it deserves all the time that it needs for the gamer to put in to really appreciate it. So I'm really enjoying Tears of the Kingdom, but when that shit is done, I'm jumping right to Donkey Kong Bonanza. So yeah, I think it should win, but this is going to fucking Perry God. So yeah, that's how it is.
Very God, it's my kind of
Yeah,
genre, baby. But it would be absolute insanity on the internet if Donkey Kong wins Game of the Year. Like, if you just want a sample of what that insanity would look like,
DK
it would,
Donkey Kong.
yeah, we got some samples for you. We got Troll of the Week,
Week,
Troll of the
troll of the
Week.
week,
Troll of the
troll of the
week,
week,
troll of the
troll of the
week,
week,
troll of the
week, 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 week.
week. So these trolls are all over the place because there's a lot of different threads to pull when it comes to the game of the award. You never know what angle they're going to attack at. So we're just taking a smattering, a sampling, if you will, for your viewing pleasure. First troll says, I would almost rather see Monster Hunter World nominated over Death Stranding 2, and I hate Monster Hunter Wilds. I know I said World first, I mean Wilds. It wants to see the game he hates nominated over a game he probably hates more. Crazy. Next troll says, so fucking happy KCD2 was nominated over Yote. It was the flex spot, but Yote did not deserve it. It's another Sony copy paste job that's arguably worse than its predecessor. Except for most of the people who like the game who think that it stands on the shoulders of Tsushima by doing all the things it does, but better. I don't know. We'll see how the votes fall. Next troll says, where are the Yote nerds that were saying Yote would be nominated over Hades Due or KCD 2? LOL. Nerd.
Nerds.
Yote nerds. My Japanese game. Next troll says, Expedition 33 was unbearable after about 33 seconds and was uninstalled after about 20 minutes. Congrats to the team, though. So you never made it out of Lumiere, which means that you never even played the game. Goes it elsewhere, never speak. Next troll says,
But
how come
congrats to
congrats to the
the
team now.
team.
How come PlayStation has no games but got more nominations than any other publisher? I like them. I like them petty trolls. Next troll says, awards don't mean anything. You either like the game or you do not. Awards are just fluff and nothing more. Awards are recognition for people's accomplishments in this very crowded and very difficult, very challenging field. Awards also indicate who's really doing stuff on a higher level. It helps people get jobs, it helps people get paid better. Awards are something, they are not just fluff.
It's just a marketing event, Dub. It's just
It's just
marketing.
co just commercials.
It's just commercialization.
Yeah, and the Oscars are just trailers. And the
Yeah, the state of
Grammys,
play, E3,
yeah.
all the things that you wish would come back. They're just marketing
Yeah, like, and what's
events.
even the point of taking that angle? It's
Yeah.
just commercials. It's like, yeah, commercials for things you want that you're not gonna see anywhere else. The fuck? I don't know. Some people. Next troll says, I didn't play any of these games except Borderlands 4, and it was boring. The rest were either woke messes or Souls-likes, which go on ignore instantly. Pixel side-scrollers are also on ignore.
Woke messes.
So you just don't.
That guy still exists in 2020.
He's holding on as hard as he can for relevance, for
It's all
attention, anyway.
forspoken.
Yeah. Which is on Xbox and it's been there for like months. I had no idea. I wonder why. But yeah, this is a classic case of you just don't like games and should probably pick up another hobby. Didn't see anything, nothing, didn't play any of the best games of the year. All right. Yeah. Next show says game of the year will be something garbage like Outer Worlds 2 or similar like every year now. It's so full of corporate crap, it's not worth watching. Well, apparently you haven't even been paying to the available information on the internet because Outer Worlds 2 is not even nominated for game of the year.
I'm pretty sure it was just in one category.
Yeah. One category and people are already rationalizing why it shouldn't win. But full of corporate crap is not worth watching. Corporate crap, you mean all the games that all of us have been buying and playing and celebrating all year long, finally getting like official accolades to make it official. I don't know. People don't appreciate nothing. Nothing at all. Speaking of, our final troll hits you with this gem. Expedition 33 is overrated AF. Oh, man. Well, I'm sorry you feel that way because you're going to be reminded every day of how overrated it is when it's walking around with like it already had, apparently it has the most nominations of any game in history, so it's definitely taking a lot of those home with it. Get ready to keep regurgitating this nonsense all over the internet for years to come. AMC, you got anything for these trolls?
No, I mean they didn't let me down. At least you know what? It wasn't a lot of Jeff Keighley. It was just I'm just hating on award shows in general. There's no specifically targeting of Jeff Keighley. I guess that'll be saved for when the actual show airs. But
Yeah.
yeah, they it seems like the big thing is people like Claire Obscura, so fuck
Yeah.
that. That's the big trolling thing. But they're reaching because there's no Last of Us 2. There's no super divisive game here for people to get upset about. So this is actually one of the I'd say this is going to be one of the years where the trolls are really going to have to search for things to hate on when it comes to the award show.
I mean, hey, I had to search for them. It was a lot of positive talk discussing the nominees. People mostly just excited that the games that they like are nominated at all. And recognizing that it was a very tough, crowded year full of high profile, high quality releases. And, you know, unfortunately, you can't honor everything the way that it deserves. You know, I meant to give an honorable mention to Absolum back in, I think it was the best independent game category because that came out of nowhere and was one of the finest games I played this year. Completely changed my mind on beat 'em ups. And as long as they can be made like that or better, because that's the best beat 'em up I've ever played by far. So, you know, it's tough, man. At least some truly outstanding games are vying for these various titles. Troll of the week,
Week,
troll of the
troll of the
week,
week,
troll of the
troll of the
week,
week,
troll of the
troll of the
week,
week,
troll of the
week.
week.
All right, well, I have a hard out, so I'm gonna have to call it right here. This is Control Issues. I am A and C.
Sucker.
Sucker.